Hello everyone, and once again, welcome back to Kings of the Rift, your source for competitive League of Legends news and opinions. I'm your host, Gold Knight. But before we get into everything, I want to say thank you to all of you for listening. This podcast is available where all the other fine podcasts can be found. Go ahead and leave me a review if you can, if you're on iTunes. I know it only takes a few seconds, but it seriously helps to get this podcast noticed. And anywhere else you can find us, follow the podcast for updates when a new episode gets posted. Also, if you're on Anchor, you guys can help me out and become a subscriber to the podcast. It's something like a subscriber on Twitch. You pay a little bit every month, and then you get, better content. So, if you guys do help me out, any bit of help is fantastic. And your support will help keep making these episodes better and better. So, today we're going to be talking about the season 2020, which is what they're seeming to take it into, which is fantastic. And we're going to take a look at the different rosters that have been formed now that we're about a week away. And let's see how it looks. Let's jump right into it, guys. Okay, so we're going to jump into this kind of in alphabetical order, as close to alphabetical order as I can. I believe it's all in alphabetical. So we're going to take a look at, from the beginning, 100 Thieves. All in this first half, we're going to be taking a look from 100 Thieves to Evil Geniuses, and kind of breaking down the teams, breaking down what they have, and then we'll have a little break. And then after that break, I'll finish it off with Fly to TSM. So just stay tuned after that break. So starting off with 100 Thieves, instead of Fake God, they brought back Someday, which is great because Someday shouldn't have been in Academy. But I am surprised he did stay with 100 Thieves. They must be giving him a good amount of money for him to stay, even though last year, oh look, I'm in friggin' the Academy scene, which was, and probably still will continue to be, kind of a joke, but I digress. So Someday is now in the top lane for 100 Thieves, which is great, I think. And they're bringing back the old 2018 roster, which got them to second place in spring, and then I think it was sixth place or so. Maybe brought them up to third, but they ended up going to Worlds. 100 Thieves did back in 2018, to everybody's chagrin, because, well, they didn't really like the fact that they were able to actually get there. They're bringing back a couple pieces, actually, of that 2018 100 Thieves roster, as they're bringing back Meteos in the jungle, which I think is a great idea. He was one of the most consistent junglers last season with Optic, and I think that was one of the reasons why Optic went on that 7-0 run. It was against the lower tier teams. Optic was the perfect example of beating teams that are below you and losing to teams that are above you. So I think Meteos was actually one of the biggest reasons that they did win. His consistency was key in their wins, and it was, not really exploited in their losses. So then they moved down to the mid lane, which is Ryoma from the OCE, from Australia, and basically Ryoma's kind of he's a non-issue, no one really knows about him. There's people from OCE that say he's great. They're glad that he's getting this opportunity, which honestly I am too. But for them to avoid using an NA laner in the mid lane, Demonte, Poebelter, all these different things, all these free agent mid laners from NA, and not have to use one of their import slots, I think honestly would be maybe a better way to go, because we've seen that 100 Thieves in the past has had a problem managing their import slots, and having a free one would, I think, actually help them a lot, especially when they had to remove Soligo in the mid lane and put Ryu in. They had to then end up putting Fake God in instead of Someday, which was a significant difference. Fake God was strong, but he wasn't as strong as Someday last year. So having that extra slot, I think, would actually have helped them. But if they believe in Ryoma and, GM Papa Smithy likes Ryoma, then okay, cool. So then bringing another part of that 2018 roster back up to snuff is Cody Sun in the bottom lane, which honestly, Cody Sun seems to be on a upward trajectory. Every time he's played, he's gotten to Worlds, so that's fantastic. This will be his fourth year, and honestly, I think he can do it again with this 100 Thieves roster, which kind of leaks how I think 100 Thieves will do, but we'll see. Because he's paired up with Stunt, who actually Stunt, from what I've heard from pros, Stunt is really good. We haven't seen him in a while. I think the last time we saw him, he was on FlyQuest, if I'm correct. I'm not sure. But I do definitely think that Stunt is really good. And I think that paired with Cody Sun, they'll be a good duo. It might take a little bit of time. But we'll see how it goes, and, they've had this offseason to really work together and all that. So, then they brought on Zix as a coach as well. Zix, I respect as a coach. He's a very, seemingly nice guy. I think he was almost bullied out of TSM, it almost seems like, because last year he was brought on to TSM, obviously, and it just didn't seem like he did anything. It didn't seem like he had much of a factor in the games. But I think that honestly could have been from the strong personalities that he was dealing with in Bjergsen, as well as the whole issue. Well, Bjergsen and Sven. But then there's the whole issue of the jungle problems. If the team wasn't meshing well, then it reflects poorly on the coach, because then the coach looks bad because they're losing. But it couldn't even be the coach's fault at that point. So I think Zix would do well in this 100 Thieves organization, just because I think it's a lot different of an organization than it was when they first started. They were kind of laid back, chill. They were shopping before the finals in 2018. They weren't practicing. But I think this roster and this, this Zix-led team will be fantastic, as well as Papa Smithy. I don't think he's going to be a slouch when it comes to getting everybody up and motivating them. He's a lot more approachable than some of the other GMs, which you can't even, tell me what a GM of CLG is, or tell me who the GM of Evil Geniuses is, and I'll tell you I have no idea who they are. But he's very approachable, so I think, honestly, any issues will be brought right up to him as well as to Zix, and they'll work well together. So, on to the next team that we have is Cloud9, who made quite a bit of moves, and questionable ones at that, possibly. So let's jump right into it. So Licorice in the top lane, as always, is a great laner. He's a great player, able to carry from the top lane. With the meta shifting the way it is, you know, with less tanks and everything like that, you're not going to see Licorice have a bad time. He's very good at playing those things like Kled, like, you know, like a Fiora. You know, he's able to do that split push or just jump into a team fight and win. He's very good at kind of taking team fights and splitting them up, coming from different angles, coming from a weird angle to just cause the team fight to break up. Then they can get an advantage, and there you go. So then he's paired up with Blabber, who honestly, when Blabber was playing, I think it was 2 years ago in 2018, when he split time with Svenskeren, then it was the whole Svenskeren and Jensen versus the Blabber and Golden Glue. Blabber and Golden Glue, like when it was mixed up like that, it was great, I think. But it's a little different now. Blabber is now full-time, and he had some great experiences at Worlds. He had that amazing Elise game, but how many times can you get that game? How many times can you pop off on Elise on a game that really doesn't matter? So he is a good player, but he's young, which is good. But he really needs to worry about the support synergy, the jungle support. They need to be able to work together and actually do something. And he's coming into a team that doesn't have the same support that he's been used to, with Vulcan. He'll be paired now with Vulcan instead of Zazel like it was before. So then we drop down to the mid lane. They're keeping Niski, which is fantastic, I think. He was one of the top three mid laners. Some could even argue top two last year, right behind Jensen. But honestly, I think Niski was very good for C9 last year. And keeping him, I think, is just, you have to do that. If you have a talent like that, you need to just make sure that stays with you and that you don't kind of throw it away. I would like them to see them, you know, maybe able to utilize a NA talent, but Niski is the next best thing. So then they change it down in the bottom lane quite a bit. Sneaky's out. Sneaky has retired, but is still working with Cloud9, it looks like. Kind of being like a brand ambassador and all that. And probably is going to be streaming and doing all these different things. So instead they brought on Sven from TSM. And, you know, a former Origin and G2 and all that. And Sven, honestly, is a good player, but it seems like he might have some attitude issues. It might seem like just he's not, I don't want to say fully invested, but it seems like he can kind of be a jerk every once in a while. And I wonder if the issue with TSM, the whole, you know, him being kind of the focal point on the drama between himself and Acadian, I wonder if that will humble him slightly and kind of let him see, okay, now I'm on a new team. I can start anew. I can start with a new leaf and just there you go. I'm able to just not worry about what's happened in the past and I'll just be new. I'll be new Sven. Look at me, I'm great. And I think, honestly, he has the potential because he's going to be paired with Vulcan. Now, Vulcan is fantastic. He did really well at Worlds. He actually was one of the reasons why Clutch Gaming, why they got so far. And I'm not saying they got too far. But he had some great standout plays, especially on that Pyke the diving into the enemy towards the end of Nexus, and was able to get those couple solo kills. Just absolutely fantastic. He looked like a standout player and was then one of the more mechanically skilled ADCs. I think he could do very well. So, and obviously they kept Reaper as their coach, so I think that will be great as well. Reaper is a storied coach, very well spoken when it comes to his knowledge of the game, and I think everybody respects him. So then we will move on to CLG. Okay, so for the most part, CLG kind of stayed the same. They did upgrade in a couple areas, I believe. They stayed with Ruin in the top lane. Ruin was very good in the early summer split. He looked like he was going to be one of the top contenders in top lane. But it ended up looking like he just kind of fizzled out. Now, I don't know why that is. I don't know at what point did he decide, you know what, I'm just not going to play as well as I did. Or did they figure him out? Did the other teams figure him out? That's possible. But then they match him up again with Wiggly, who... Wiggly's an old... I guess I want to say older guy, but he seems like he's, you know, he's not a child. But he seems like a nice enough guy. He's not standout, I don't think. Last year, I think CLG was just kind of, they were there. They had a couple of wins. They were middle pack. But they didn't seem like anything too fancy. They don't really have a identity, I don't think. And I think that's been a thing for CLG for quite a while, is their lack of a serious identity and something that actually means anything for them. So they kind of changed it up a little bit and brought Crown into the mid lane, which honestly, Crown I think is a great upgrade over Power of Evil. Crown as well as Meteos were actually the ones who got Optic on that 7-0 run that they had, and it was just great, I think. Crown is a good player. He did 2 years ago, I believe. He looked a little washed up, but then he brought it back with his AD Twisted Fates and all the different, you know, his champion pool was not able to be kind of foreseen, so I think he was able to get away with a lot last year. And honestly, I think having Crown in the mid lane over Power of Evil is just going to be overall better for them, especially because CLG's whole thing last year was, oh, look, PoE and Stixxay look exactly the same. Haha, this is funny. This is a joke. This is our whole shtick as CLG, is that these two guys look the same, which is just weird. So, again, as I said, they kept Stixxay. Stixxay has been really, really good. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably rate him around a 7 or so. He's not standout, really. He's consistent, is the thing. Which I think is really good, and you need in a bottom laner. But he is now paired up with Smoothie. Smoothie's kind of bounced around a little bit. He's kind of played with everyone. And I think Smoothie can play well with Stixxay. They seem like they kind of would fit together well. Stixxay seems like he's a laning ADC who does want to get to the team fights. And it seems like Smoothie's that same way as well. So I think they'll be good together. And now, you know, they're going to kind of be moving away from the Weldon head coach and moving into Song. Song looked really good when Song had a good team. This doesn't seem like a song caliber team, but we'll see. We'll see how Coach Song will actually be able to deal with this team. Maybe he's going to be able to power them up. I think that would be interesting to see, but we'll see how it goes and we'll figure it out as the time goes on. So then we move on to Dignitas. Dignitas is returning after a while out of the LCS. They took over the Clutch Gaming spot, which they'd kind of they'd bought them, paired up with them, and they've been kind of trending towards this way for a while. So, as everyone knows at this point, probably Huni is in the top lane still. Huni took up about, I think they said, 3/4 of the budget. That, the 3/4 or 2/3, but quite a bit of the budget that Dignitas had coming into this year. So his player salary is just huge. And it seems like it could be the biggest in, you know, LCS history. Which is cool, but how much longer can Huni keep playing the way he does? He looks really good on a couple picks, and then he looks so-so on others. I think his confidence is what kind of helps him out. It's the ability for him to just say, like, no, like, I'm gonna kill this guy. Like, I don't care if this is a losing matchup, I will win it. So I think that's a good thing that Huni has. And pairing him up with the jungler Grig from TSM, one of the multiple junglers that TSM had last year, I think will work. But it could also not, which I think is, you know, that was a non-sentence. But Huni and Grig, I don't think will be as, you know, explosive as some other top jungle duos, but I think Grig is definitely a step up from Lyra, who basically was a Skarner machine. He was just a tank jungler who really didn't make moves that often, and I've said for years that I don't really like Lyra. I think he's kind of one of the bottom of the barrel junglers that's out there. So he's now over in Korea doing a Challenger Korea team. Sure, go over there, do that. Stay away from NA, please. And then that brings us to someone who's been in NA for quite a while. Might actually be a resident soon, which will free him up. But Froggen. Froggen has now in the middle lane for Dignitas. Froggen is strange. And I think with paired with Huni, I don't know how this is going to go, because Huni feels comfortable when you coddle him. And I've heard people say this as well before. If you give Huni resources, Huni will help. Huni will crush this game if you give him resources. However, I've also heard that Froggen demands resources. You need to come and fix his wave. You need to come and roam for him so that he can get an advantage here. Which is great, because then he can get an advantage and his champion pool is huge. His champion Ocean for Froggen as well, which is just fantastic. But you need to be able to give massive resources to both your top laner and your mid laner. I don't know how that works. I feel like Grig's going to be pulled thin trying to give both sides, you know, keep both sides happy. So then they move down to the bottom lane, which I don't understand, but I guess I do. A little bit. The different things that different people they could have gotten, for their money, this makes the most sense. But they got Johnson in the bottom lane, who Johnson was an ADC for TSM Academy for a while, and Johnson's good, but I wouldn't call him really LCS level. But let's see how he does, see how he plays, and paired up with Aphromoo, who's his support, I think honestly that will be pretty good. Aphro has been trending downwards, I think, over the last couple of years. And I'm not sure. I think ever since he moved to 100 Thieves, he just got comfortable because he knew he had the money. And I wonder if he took less money to be with Dignitas because he knows he can win with Hooney and with Froggen. And, you know, he wants to teach Johnson and Grig and all this. He's historically, Aphromoo's been good with new support or new ADCs. For example, with Stixxay, with Cody's son, he's been very good with them. But this is kind of a weird little, you know, team, I think, that they made. It's very top heavy, pun intended, actually. Bithuni being the face of this team. So I think, honestly, you know, they kept their same coach as last year, thank card. I know Artemis is now instead with Evil Geniuses, so they don't have Artemis anymore. And speaking of Evil Geniuses, we'll move on to Evil Geniuses now. So Evil Geniuses took the spot of Echo Fox. Echo Fox had their whole drama with the racist investor, and then they had drama with the payment, and then like the investors were dropping out, and there's drama and whatever. So ended up getting kicked out, and Evil Geniuses took that spot. And Evil Geniuses is a lot different than what it was back when they last were in the LCS. They're newly branded. They're ran by this very, very businessy looking woman. I forget her name. But they seem like a great team. On paper, they do, but who knows how they'll play in real life. They have Kumo in the top lane, who played for C9 for a game when Licorice was out. I think they actually played that weekend, so two games. But Kumo is good, but I don't think he's... I don't know. I don't think he's, like, top of the world. I don't think he's going to be great. But I do think that having Kumo paired with Svenskeren in the jungle, which is a great pickup by Evil Geniuses, having the MVP now on your team, who left his team of a couple of years, I think honestly looks great. And then they paired Svenskeren up with Jizuke, who... Jizuke looks... He looked, a couple years ago, he was the Italian Stallion. He was an amazing player on Vitality. He brought it to, you know, he brought it to Worlds, shocked the world with Vitality's, just the way they play and the just their boldness. But last year he was just kind of meh. He just wasn't amazing, I think. So I think this might be a, all right, I'm coming to NA to prove myself again. I don't think he'll be I think he'll be top five, maybe, in mid laners, but let's see how it goes, I think. And then they have Bang in the bottom lane, who historically Bang was fantastic, but ever since he got to NA, he just isn't great. I don't know if it's his, if he just kind of is like, all right, NA is my retirement and all this. and then he realized, oh, I actually do want to win. Or if he just isn't that great anymore. It could be that. Who knows? But I think, honestly, pairing him up with Zazel, who is a great player, I think that will be pretty good. I think with having Bang and Aframu, two older guys, kind of, you know, stuck in the old kind of... the old style of League of Legends, I think will... it'll revitalize him, I think. It'll revitalize Bang to be better. Because, and honestly, the Zazels and Skarin, like, meshing, that they've already played together for 2 years, at least, and that will be really good, and that'll enable this team to be able to actually do pretty well. I think they're going to be a top five team. I don't think they get anywhere close. They might in like a first couple weeks sniff first or second. But I don't think that they're going to be one of the top teams when it comes to the end of the season. And then they brought on Irian as a coach, who Irian was from CLG before, I believe. And honestly, I think... I don't know. I think Evil Geniuses will be good, but I don't think they'll be 100%. Like, they won't be the best team. So stick around after this this brief little message. And on the other side of this ad break, we will get to FlyQuest all the way to TSM. And then if you guys stick around after that, I'm going to be putting up on my YouTube, a power rankings video. So if you guys stick around for that, you can see that. I'll tell you where to go. And I will see you guys after this break. All right. All right, everybody, and welcome back from that nice little break. And we're going to jump right into FlyQuest. We're going to do a FlyQuest to TSM run with the last five alphabetical teams. And as I said before the break, if you stick around after the fact, I will tell you where to find my ratings video that I'm going to do for ranking from the worst to the best. Keep you guys in suspense. So we will... we'll start with Fly right now. So they kept Viper in the top lane, which I think is an okay thing. Viper is not the greatest top laner, but he's aggressive. His champion pool seems to be a little low, like a little thin, but I could see him picking up Set. I could see him... using, you know, more of the melee top laners or the fighters, as he's, you know, famous for his Riven. Which they kept also another part of their team in Santorin. So Viper and Santorin have been playing together for at least two splits, I believe. Give me 1 second, I'm going to sneeze. Okay, so they kept Santorin as well as Viper. Santorin was pretty good when he was on TSM a couple years ago at this point. But he's just kind of been a middle-of-the-pack jungler for too long, I think. He has potential. I've seen him do very well. He's gotten to the top of the solo queue ladder a couple times. And he could really be... he could be something. Then we head down into the mid lane, which I think is the most questionable move that they could have made. FlyQuest, that is. They dropped Poebelter, and they instead went with PoE, Power of Evil. Power of Evil, I just think, is just a straight-up downgrade in terms of, you know, PoB to PoE. I don't think they... I know that they probably did think this through, but Power of Evil just seems to be... I always feel like he's lost in Champion Select when it comes to what to pick, and then he defaults onto his Orianna or Azir or something safe when instead he should be playing something more meta than that. Now, I'm not saying you need to be a meta slave or anything like that, but you just need to be able to kind of have a little more faith in yourself. So PoE might not be the greatest pickup that they have made. And then once again, they're going with Wild Turtle in the bottom lane. Now, Wild Turtle is and has been for the last couple of years kind of been on a downslide. I think ever since he left the championship winning TSM team, I think he just hasn't been the same. Even then, I think he was a little bit crappy. But I definitely think that he could be good again, perhaps. At least, he doesn't have to be even good. He just has to be, like, consistent. If he can be consistent, not die in lane, and just chill, then I think he's fine. But I don't think he'll do that, because he's constantly moving forward. He's constantly being aggressive. And this year he's going to be aggressive with Ignar. Ignar was, I believe, on Misfits at one point. And I think he picked that. I think he was the one who picked the Leona against SKT at Worlds in 2018. He was the one who played the... Or was it 2017? Why do I even... and then he also was the one who picked the Blitzcrank and all that. So he's an aggressive player, Ignar is. But this might pair up well with Wild Turtle. And I think Ignar is just a straight-up increase over Wadeed. Wadeed was good, but I just think he needs a good laner to play with. Someone that's a little bit better than Wild Turtle. So I'd like to see Wadeed maybe go back to Europe, find one of those... European Masters teams or something like that, you know, and teach a new upcoming marksman what to do. So I think he'd be good back then, but they do have Ignar this year, and Curry actually was upgraded to their roster as a coach, and I honestly think Curry could do pretty well. He was kind of in the background before, but I definitely think coming up, he'll be pretty good. So then we're now on to Golden Guardians, who have now changed their tri-code from GGS to GG, which is what it should have been from the beginning, but I think there was a tri-code database issue where some other team had GG. I'm trying to think of who it would be, but someone had GG. So GG now has, they have Haunser in the top lane, which they kept, which is great, because Haunser has, and I think still is, one of the better top laners. I think the problem is that his team just doesn't really play around him too much. But he is good at kind of keeping his own, not giving up leads, not just feeding his butt off, and being consistent, you know, being that late game carry that could help, or that tank player that does well. Like, so we'll see how the meta shifts and everything, so that we'll see if he's going to be useful as a tank versus useful as whatever else. But we'll see how it goes this year. So then you have him paired up with Closer, who is from Turkey, I believe. And Closer has, I believe he played in the OCE, but I'm not too sure. But I've heard of him before. And Closer's good. I think, honestly, the fact that he was one of the OCE players, If I'm correct in that assumption. If not, then don't, you know, crucify me. But I think him being there was pretty good. I've heard only good things about Closer as a jungler. I don't know how well he'll do in the LCS with the high level of junglers we have here. But we'll see how he plays with Haunter as well as the new addition to the mid lane for Golden Guardians, the Golden Glue, the Golden God himself. So I think Golden Glue will be pretty good in GGS. Sorry, not GGS, GG. So Golden Glue will be good. He is... he's an NA talent, which is fantastic. He is a younger talent. He's been in the scene for a while, but really hasn't been given a starting spot recently, ever since his... you know, his trades back and forth between with Jensen. So I think that Golden Glue has a lot to prove. If this doesn't work out and he doesn't kind of pop back off, I don't think he gets another chance with a different team after the fact. But we'll see how everything goes. He has great mental. I think he's really enjoys being on a team that will give him a full-time spot, because that was one of the big things that people were afraid of, was that people like Golden Glue, like Demonte and all that, won't get a fair shake. And to be honest, it looks like Golden Glue is the one who did get the fair shake at this point. But then they go back down to the bot lane, which has FBI, who FBI was pretty good. Last year, he was not the reason why Golden Guardians weren't great. He was really, I think, consistent, which is great to hear. But I think one of the big things is that the issues this year will come from that bottom lane, only because they did role swap Keith. Keith McBrief, who used to be for years and years and years, he's actually one of the older players in the league. An ADC player, they role swapped him to support, which I don't know if I agree with. You have a bunch of supports, you know, people who actually do play support that could have been picked up. But looking from the Golden Guardians little documentary series kind of thing that they had, about picking Keith up, about, you know, finalizing their new roster and all this, it seems like they went with Keith just because he has existing synergy with the team, and he is an older player, and he's able to teach FBI how to play the game, you know, further than a lot of people can. So, honestly, I think that'll be interesting to see Keith as a support. But we'll kind of see how it goes, and we'll figure out what, you know, as time goes on, if Keith is actually a good support, and that's where he maybe should have been, instead of kind of a mid to low tier ADC his whole career. And then they obviously brought Enero back as the head coach for Golden Guardians. Enero is... I like his coaching philosophy. He's a very strong, you know, strong-willed coach. He knows how to deal with the teams pretty well. So I honestly think he'll be good for this Golden Guardians roster. This could be a middle-of-the-pack team. I don't think it's going to be... It'll be playoff, probably, caliber. But I don't think it gets any further than that. If they make a miracle run in the playoffs, then sure, they can get up there, maybe third, fourth, or whatever. But I don't see much different changing. So then we move on to the French team, which is, it's not actually French, but it is Immortals. They are a strange roster. I think one of the weaker new built rosters. Immortals is actually what took over Optic Gaming. They were the ones who they actually bought all of Optic, the Immortals Gaming Club. I think that's what they're officially known as. So their roster is going to be Soaz, who, why? I don't know. I don't know. Soaz just doesn't seem. He doesn't seem that much power, that like that powerful. He's been around the league for a long time, and he just kind of he seemed like he was a mid to low tier top laner in Europe, and then he comes here. Maybe that means he's a little higher because you know Europe seems to be better, at like at least top lane talent over there. But I don't think he'll be amazing, but we'll see how it goes. Because he's paired up with Xsmithie, who has been, who was, I believe, yeah, just removed from Team Liquid. And Xsmithie brings that championship level just quality to the team. He's been on Immortals before. He was actually on Immortals when they first joined the LCS. And he was actually part of the, or no, he was not part of the run. He was the part of the run after the fact with Cody. But he was in Immortals before. He was able to play with the team pretty well, and he's a proven factor. He's very consistent. And he can lose lane really easily, or not lose lane, but lose jungle, really easily, but still he's relevant throughout the game. He's shown that multiple times. There's been games where he's been up against Svensgeren and he's far behind, and all of a sudden he catches up, he's good, they get a good couple team fights, and now he's back to the same level and he's good and he's all fine. So then that brings you to Ika, Ika, maybe? Eika. He's an EU player. I'm guessing he's French, just because everybody else is French in this team. And he's as their mid laner. I don't know much about him. I feel like he's from one of the European Masters teams. I really don't have much insight for that. He could be great, but I think this again is an oversight with the mid laners that are available for in NA. So you can, you bring up Demonte. Demonte went to Worlds. Why not let Demonte play in this Immortals team? I don't know. Maybe Soaz has worked with Ika. I'm gonna call him Ika. If he's played with Ika before, I don't know. But then you have Johnny Rue himself in the bottom lane, Alltech. Alltech's been out of the LCS for a little bit. He's stayed consistent. And I think that consistency is just a low tier, like just playoffs level. And I just don't think Alltech is like, he's not lights out. I can't look at him and be like, yeah, he's fantastic. He's gonna be so good. Oh my God. But he's consistent, and that's all I can say about him, really. Then you pair him up with Hakuho, who I've said this multiple times, and it's the same thing with Lyra. It was the old Echo Fox roster back in 2018. I do not like Hakuho. I do not like Apollo. I do not like Lyra. I just don't think they're that good. They're from the old Envy days where Envy was just real bad, and they just kept in the LCS for some reason, and they just kept going. They kept getting jobs because they had experience and this and that. And I don't think Hakuho was that great. Yeah, he did well against TSM. Yeah, they knocked off TSM. And that's great. back in 2018, but I just don't think he's consistently done enough to warrant his position. I think coming in as a new team, with Soez and Smithy, you can take a little chance, and instead of having Hakuho, who's an older player, as well as Zoltek, as well as Smithy and Soez, you can afford to take a younger player and kind of help that support player get to a higher level by working with all these veterans. And I guess that's what they're doing with Ika, which is good. And Ika will learn from a couple of the best, especially one of the best junglers in the world, as well as one of the best top laners historically. So I definitely think there's potential for this team, but it's not, like, I'm not very high in this team. And they, again, bring Zabutin on. I don't know what incriminating pictures Zabutin has of the Optic Gaming or the Immortals roster, you know, members or whatever. What he has on the GM. But for some reason, he keeps getting this job at where he just doesn't seem to be, I don't know. He seems to be, like, not really invested in League of Legends. I follow him on Twitter, take a look at the different things he does. He's huge into Smash. He used to be a League of Legends caster, which is great, but that doesn't mean you're going to be a great coach. And you could tell with the first couple splits he was playing, or he was coaching Optic, he just wasn't that great. I think last year he was carried by Crown and Meteos's, like, just their great start to the year and their great schedule. I think he was really carried by. So I don't think that, I don't know, I don't like Zabutin as a coach. Maybe an analyst type thing like that, but it doesn't seem like he does much. But I don't know. I'm not in the team. I don't see all that. And again, he's French, so this is more of that French Immortals team. Immortals. So now we're moving on to the team that Smithy actually was originally from. Well, not originally, but last year was from. And that team is TL. So Team Liquid has mostly stayed the same. They've only changed one thing, obviously, with Smithy moving out. And they have, so obviously they have Impact in the top lane, a Rock at the top, C9 Shield back in the day, world champion, great player, Impact. But then it's in the jungle that they start to get a little iffy. Now, originally, Broxah, great, fantastic. Broxah will be a good addition, I think, to this team. Team Liquid seem to be very, you know, sit around, wait to win team fights because we're better than them. Just if we lose in the early game, sure, whatever. Let's just keep going and just win the late game, win these fights, and there you go. But I think Broxah will be able to actually help them early, you know, get those early kills, get those, you know, speed up the pace of the game, get them to faster, you know, to end the game faster. And I think that's what they did. Actually, last year, they did end the game, end their games pretty fast. It was just like, all of a sudden, they would just, the games would just seem to be over. They would just be building slow leads, and then all of a sudden they have this huge lead, and they just kill everyone, they take the Nexus, and that's the game, in 22 minutes or something. So, I think Broxah will be good for this team, but there's visa issues, as there always is, when these kind of things are made. off-season's always slightly iffy because then visa issues happen and all this. So in the first couple of weeks, it doesn't look like you're going to have Broxa. So you're either having Mike Young, who's their sub, who Mike Young's been through TSM. He's been through Team Liquid before. He was originally, I think, was he P1, Phoenix 1, Echo Fox, I believe, at one point. But Mike Young was really good. When Rengar was really good, that was his thing. Like, it was him and Inori. Like, they were just really good. And then all of a sudden, that's it. Like, Mike Young just kind of lost that confidence when he went to TSM, because TSM ruins junglers, which we'll talk about in the next one with the next team is TSM, but we'll talk about that when we get there. Or so they can do Brox and Mike Young, or from like the kind of a jokey standpoint, Poe Belter. They brought on Poe Belter as a positional coach for Jensen. Jensen respects him. Poe Belter's been part of the TL team. He won them two championships back to back. And honestly, I don't know how I feel about Poe Belter in the jungle. He's been playing a lot of it recently on his solo queue. I've seen him play it on stream. And he seems to be doing pretty well. But the thing is, I don't know. I think if they have this issue where Broxa doesn't come in, they're going to be hurting. I could see them losing a couple games in the beginning of the split just because they don't have their intended team. Now, it might be okay. It might be okay for the first couple of weeks. But then when Broxa does come over and they do start scrimming with him, and they do start actually playing with him, then will there be adjustment time? Will there be issues with, with that adjustment? And you're going to have to worry about them then losing games there because they're not on the same page yet. So I think at one point or another, I don't think this is an 18-0 TL team. Because honestly, I think this year's one of the most... It should be one of the most easy splits for them, because the rest of the pack, except for like two teams, I think are like iffy. I just don't think there's many teams that have that can hold a candle to TL this year. But we'll get into that. So obviously they kept Jensen, who Jensen's been great. They need to give more resources to him, so hopefully they do. Hopefully the addition of Broxa will actually allow for Jensen to be able to be more aggressive, win those 2v2 fights in the mid lane, with the enemy jungler there. And Jensen's going to be able to carry like he was, in those early games with C9 and all that, and it'll just be fantastic. Then obviously you have Double Lift, best NA player in history, I think, and he's just going to be consistent, I think. With the new champion, the Aphelios that's out, he's really good with him. I don't know if he'll ever get it, but he's just very consistent, so I think he'll do well, as well as MVP Core JJ. Core JJ is great. The amount of different times that, I think individually these two parts of the bottom lane, Double Lift and Core JJ, they're both really good. But when you put them together, they're just that much better. They multiply themselves, which is fantastic to see. And as always, you have Kane as the coach. So you got a championship caliber team again. So there you go. Now, who cares if they win a fifth title, a sixth title? If they don't win at Worlds, they're going to be disappointed. And it's going to be, make it or break it time. So, another team that's either that's at make it or break it, because this will be then the third year they don't make it to Worlds, but TSM. TSM made a couple good changes, and honestly, they're one of the teams that I think have a shot at the crown this year, but we'll talk about that. So, what I have here is Broken Blade in the top lane, who Broken Blade is one of the better top laners. He just needs to be more consistent, he just needs to think smarter. I think he's distracted, at least he was last year, and I think he just needs to play like he did when he first got into the league. He is a good player, but with the addition of Dardoch as his jungler, one of the most aggressive, one of the most arguably toxic junglers in the game, I think he can do really well. I think the combination of Broken Blade and Dardoch will be able to take it to the other top laner and jungler. That's one of the best duos there are right there. And then obviously pairing Dardoch up with Bjergsen, I think will be fantastic. Bjergsen knows what he wants, and Dardoch knows that he needs to do what he needs to do to get his team ahead. I think Dardoch's grown up a lot from the Breaking Point era, where, if you don't know about that, he was on Team Liquid before. It was Team Liquid with Piglet, and Dardoch and Loco was the coach. It was Lorlo, Dardoch, Phoenix, Piglet, and Matt. And they were just, it was a toxic-ass environment. So, Dardoch was that way before. I think he's been humbled enough by being in the academy scene that bringing him onto TSM, I think, is going to be great for him. So then they move down from Bjergsen. So Bjergsen is still there. He's still rocking that mid lane. And you bring on Kabe, who is another Danish ADC. And Kabe is one of the better ADCs from overseas. He is like a little Zven, honestly, I would say. I think he has a better champion pool than Zen did. And I definitely think that Kabe is more mechanically skilled than Zven. And I'm interested to see how Kabe looks coming into this year, especially paired up with the new/old acquisition of Biofrost. Bio was originally on TSM, I think straight out of solo queue. He was really good. He played with Double Lift, and Double Lift and him just kind of tore through the LCS together. And pairing Biofrost with a strong ADC like Kabe, I think, is better than it was when it was Biofrost and 6A. 6A really was kind of a, all right, let's just farm it out. Let's play Caitlyn. Let's just sit here and farm and then wait for team fights. While Biofrost is like, no, let's just keep moving forward. Let's keep attacking. Let's play Bard and, set up these plays and all this. And I think that's great. I think, honestly, having Biofrost is going to be really good. And the Biofrost-Dardoch dynamic, who knows how that'll be? Biofrost is kind of quiet, while Dardoch is more of a, he seems like a more outgoing guy. He's probably going to be, I don't want to say aggressive, but this team seems like a cohesive team. If they work together, they will do really good things. And then obviously they make Peter Zhang the coach. Peter Zhang was towards the end of last year. He was, the jungling coach for the academy team. And they brought him up as a to help out with Spica. And that was great. But Peter Zhang knows a lot about the level ones and keeping, you know, moving things forward in the early game. So I think, honestly, this might be a really good TSM team. So that's it. We're through the teams. That is just amazing. So I would like to let you guys know that I'm going to be doing a ranking video from the worst team to the best team. That'll be on my YouTube, which let me just pull up my YouTube to make sure that I have the actual name of it right. But my YouTube is going to be, there'll be a link in the description, but obviously my YouTube is, I believe it's just youtube.com/, just look up Gold Knight. That's me, Gold Knight. So just look it up, we'll figure it out, and from there we'll see how it goes, okay? We'll do a rate, we'll do a ranking, like I did, I think it was like 3 years ago at this point, maybe 4 years even, and we'll kind of go through why I think the teams are better than the other ones, and we'll kind of do that, all right? So I will see you guys in the next episode, and that'll do it, guys. See you later. Peace.